And of course, Brother Sibley gave Brother Frank and I an idea for the trunk or treat, and which another opportunity to share the gospel then. And just so there's really a lot of great stuff going on. Tonight, if, as you know, downstairs is Mrs. Mix is starting with the Children's Christmas program. I always say be a contagious Christian, please. Share our videos with people you know. Tonight's message has been a life-altering one for me that I learned several years ago, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's part of the Spirit-Filled Life series, and it's going to answer a lot of questions for people. If you haven't shared a video before, I suggest you share this one. I think it's going to help folks. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 40 and verse 30. It's the theme verse for this series, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31, and so we'll get started right off the bat. Look at those two verses with me, please. If you found Isaiah 40 and verse 30, say amen. Let's read it together, 30 and 31 out loud. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, forgive me of my sin. I pray, God, that I might be a usable vessel tonight for this message that has changed my life. I pray, God, please, that it would go forth, and you've said your word will not come back void. So tonight, Father, I beg you, use your word. Holy Spirit, speak to every heart and soul tonight. Help us to write it upon our hearts. Change us from the inside out. Let us be the gospel that people read, because they can see you. And tonight, Father, if one is watching online that doesn't know you as their Savior, may they trust Christ. For the one that was saved Sunday, what a blessing to hear. What great news. Help us, Father. We just want to be usable. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Look there in your Bible, please. It says, even the youth shall faint. That means run out of energy. Faint and be weary. If it be very possible, even folks with stamina and stuff will fall and will wear out. But in contrast to that, they that wait upon the Lord, that word wait means to attentively pay attention to receive something, to be empowered. Now look at that next phrase. And it says, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How is that even remotely possible? Because by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will live beyond your human failings and capacity. You'll live beyond your capacity because it is not about input or output. It is about throughput. It is about what the Holy Spirit of God can do in and through you. That's what God wants to do. And a lot of times, like a garden hose, we'll pinch that off. We'll get a grip on it and say, no, we're going to do it my way. No, I want this. No, I don't want to go through that. And we'll just shut the flow off. We'll shut it off. We'll quench the Holy Spirit. We'll grieve the Holy Spirit. We'll shunt him because you are either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. Dr. Lee Robertson, the great preacher of old who started Tennessee Temple University, pastored there forever. Any pastor worth his salt in the last 50 years reads his stuff. Brother Robertson's number one answer to any question spiritually was to die to self and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Die to whatever you ask him. Because what would happen is people would come to his church, and after church they would line up and they'd want to talk to Dr. Robertson. I did that at Brother Stanley's church in Atlanta. I waited in line so I could get his signature in my first King James Bible. I had him sign it, and I always wanted to talk to him for a minute. And that was his number one answer you could hear from the front of the line. Listen, die to self and be filled with the Spirit. Die to self and be filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody said that one night while he was at a service as a young man, he heard the preacher challenge the crowd and said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him." And that night, Moody came to an old-fashioned altar and knelt down and said, "By God's grace, I'll be that man." And he shook two continents. He shook Europe and America with over a million people saved that they know of. If D.L. Moody can experience the filling of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, then you and I can too. But it starts with the concept of die to self and be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God needs to have absolute preeminence in our life. He needs to be the one who has absolute control. He is God in you. Last week we talked about the fact that everything we need for life and godliness has been given to us. With the Holy Spirit inside us and the Word of God in front of us, we have everything we need to live the Spirit-filled life, to live beyond our capacity by allowing the Holy Spirit to be the one who lives through us. It's not me doing anything. It's the Holy Spirit of God doing it. Because that which is not of spirit is sin. So we belong to him. We're his vessel. We're his ambassador to the world. I said to somebody this week already in a Bible study, I said, look, you're the Bible people are reading. You are. You're the Bible your children are going that read. They're looking at you. Brother Jim said one time, this book, you read this book, but this book reads you. You know, our kids are reading us. They're watching. They're trying to balance or they're trying to square the idea that we're Christian, but yet human. And we make mistakes, but they're watching and they're reading us. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 12. Isaiah 40 was talking about the fact that they that wait upon the Lord will live beyond their capacity. They will live a life that can only be explained, it was the Lord. That's the only explanation you can give. Look at Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, I mentioned that Sunday. Are you right and are you ready to go? Are you right with the Lord? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You and I are the body of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God cannot do the things he wants to do except through a human body. He uses our hands and our feet and our mouth if we're willing to let him. Again, it's not about input and it's not about output. It's about throughput. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us into that full, abundant life. That's what he wants. That's what Jesus said he would do. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give them life and that more abundantly. The abundant Christian life. Now, we've talked about it. You've been to the bookstores and you've seen the books that talk about it. But have you experienced it? The abundant Christian life is a product of the Holy Spirit working in your life. It is the result because it's the result of that. The result of the abundant Christian life is us living beyond our capacity. I want you to discover that abundant life that Christ promised. And I want you to discover how to immerse yourself in a daily, spirit-filled, spirit-led lifestyle. So I'm speaking about the how-tos, the nuts and bolts of the spirit-filled life. Living a spirit-filled life is learning to become aware of his presence and to acknowledge moment by moment what he's doing in your life and whether we're walking in concert with him or whether we're putting the brakes on. It's a daily discipline. It's a daily choice not to neglect him. Charles Spurgeon, I found a quote that said, the greatest crime of sinners is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and the greatest fault of saints is to neglect the Holy Spirit. See, when you leave tonight, when you walk out those back doors, your life is going to go on. And every moment after that, the choice is yours. Will you neglect the Holy Spirit or will you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Will you live with a head knowledge or a profound life-altering experience of walking with him in control? Having that practice, that daily practice of a changed life. Knowing about the Spirit is different than experiencing him working at our life. We can live beyond our capacity, but it's up to us to make ourselves available. I don't know at first I never really understood what that meant. My pastor always said that, to make yourself available to the Holy Spirit of God. Available. You think of available parking spaces, you have available whatever. But to think of yourself as something that you make available to the Holy Spirit and his use. It's up to us to surrender ourselves to him, to choose to fellowship with him continuously. Now, many, truthfully, are ignorant of him. They most neglect him. But the question is, what are you and I going to do? We're the ones that are born again. We're the ones that have the Holy Spirit inside us. We're the ones. You can't expect lost people to act like Christians because they don't have the Holy Spirit inside them. So as a Christian, what are we going to do? What is going to be the sum total, the summary of your life when it's over? Dr. Lee Robinson said, to die to self and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a transforming truth. It's not about a big, gigantic mountaintop experience. Ladies are going to go tomorrow to the ladies' prayer advance. All ladies ought to go to the prayer advance. And it can be like a mountaintop. But the truth is, nothing grows on a mountain. The thing is, being filled with the Spirit, you need those mountaintop experiences to know what it feels like. But the truth is, it's a daily, moment-by-moment experience that I'm talking about. So take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Die to self and be filled with the Spirit is what Dr. Robertson said. Look at Ephesians 5 and verse 18, a familiar portion of Scripture. We've heard it multiple times, Ephesians 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That's interesting. Did you notice how that strong drink, alcoholic beverage, alcohol is referred to as spirits? Does that escape you? Maybe you weren't aware of that. They're called spirits. Why? Because when you drink it, you're like controlled by a demon. Makes good men bad. Makes good people do things they'd never dream they'd do. Makes liars out of us. Makes us reprobates. Be not drunk with wine where is in excess. But in contrast to being controlled by something else, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. What does he mean to die to self? It's a command to empty myself of known sin and yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about a one-time thing. I'm talking about moment by moment, day by day, a walk with him where I empty myself of known sin. What does that mean? That means man up, talk, look God in the face and ask him, what is it between you and I that I need to get right? And then you confess it, and you repent of it, and you forsake it. And at that moment, you are filled with the Spirit, and you are right with God. It's not that complex. Think of it as a child. When your child, normally, if you're a decent enough parent, your children are right with you most of the time. But when they mess up, what do they got to do to get right with you? Well, they got to admit it. Say they're sorry. Okay, are you still going to, you still just going to get mad at him for the rest of the week? No, I'm going to forgive him and I'm going to let it go. Okay, why wouldn't the Heavenly Father do the same thing? The problem is the devil wants to remind you of the things God's already forgotten about. The devil will bring up your mistakes and God's already forgotten them because you've already confessed them and said you're sorry. And God goes, I don't know what you're talking about when you bring them up again. But the devil wants you to think that. So it's an act of will. It's an act of surrender in prayer. It is not a sensation or provided to you by some feeling. It's a decision by faith to yield complete control of myself to the Spirit. And the truth is, I can't get away with just doing it once in the morning and then it covers me all day. It's not like a vitamin. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit is not a vitamin you take and you're good all day. It's not like a one a day. You know, it's a Centrum. It's not like that. It's I got to let it go today. Because what happens is you start your day off, but then a myriad of things come up. Now, let's look at what it means to die to self, to recognize our current status with God. Look at Galatians chapter 2. You go toward the front of the book, just a couple of pages from where you are. Galatians 2 and verse 20. What does it mean to die to self? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I was crucified with Christ. When I trusted Christ as my Savior, do you understand? The old man was crucified. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, toward the front of the book, just a few more pages. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13. Look what the Bible says. I'm talking about dying to self. I'm talking about emptying myself of known sin and yielding completely to the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:12, let not sin therefore reign. That means be the boss, be in control of your mortal body, that ye should obey it. What do you mean if it rains? What is it? How does it rain in my body? By obeying it in the lusts thereof. We all want stuff. We all like stuff. I had a lady say to me, she said, well, we always have wine with our meal and it's no big deal. I said, she said, it doesn't have a hold of me. And I said, okay, you give it up for a week. Give it up for a week. Just the appetite for it alone will recognize how strong a hold it's got in you. Now, I'm not here to preach about alcohol. What I'm here to preach about is the fact that our flesh fights against the spirit. And our flesh wants to control. And we want the abundant Christian life. We want to live the life God has intended for us. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. How do I do that? By obeying it, by obeying my mortal body's appetites in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't let your body take charge and do things you know is sin. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness of God. You know, nobody in this room, no matter what your age is, nobody in this room, none of you are unaware of what sin is. You all know what sin is. You know, you with me? This is not a complex thing. You know what sin is. You know the sin in your life. I had a person say to me, well, if I pray and I ask the Holy Spirit to do this, he'll talk to me. Yeah, that's the point. Oh, so he's going to bring up things you don't want to talk about. Do you think he don't know? Well, I know he knows. Well, why don't you want to talk to him? Because the fight's too hard to say no to my flesh. Do you want the abundant Christian life or not? Do you want the spirit-filled life, the life that God talks about? You can have that life. Look, we're going to have it in heaven. Going to have it in heaven. But you can have it now. But you're not going to have it on your terms. This old sinful flesh wants what it wants, and it's constantly fighting against the Holy Spirit of God. So to have the Spirit-filled life, to live the Spirit-filled life, to live beyond my capacity, to have the Holy Spirit of God working through me, to have victory, to have peace, to have joy, to have love, to have long-suffering, patience, goodness, the ability to forgive, the ability to understand, the ability to discern, to have all these things. I can't do it in my flesh. I have to be empowered. I have to be filled with, I have to die to self and be filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 16 of that same chapter, Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are. That word servants talks about slavery. If you yield yourself as a slave to your flesh, you are a slave because you obey him, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So we are the ones who choose who we yield to, moment by moment, day by day. You and I choose. We live every day in the service of the flesh or the control of the spirit. Look, most Christians don't just willfully choose to walk in the flesh, but they arrive there by default because they have yet to deliberately yield to the Spirit. D.L. Moody, I didn't bring one up here. I thought I should have remembered that. But D.L. Moody held up a glass during a crusade one time, and he said, how do I get all the air out of this glass? And people are like, what? He said, I have a glass. How do I get all the air out of it? And one guy shouted, put a suction cup on it and pump all the air out of it. He said, no, that'll create a vacuum and it'll explode. It'll implode. How do I get all? And some other people had some suggestions. And none of them. He said, no. He took a glass. He took a pitcher of water and he poured it full, running over. He said, now there is no air in this glass. As we empty ourselves of known sin and yield to the Holy Spirit, he fills us completely. This is not something you do once a day. This is moment by moment. The victorious Christian life is when the Holy Spirit has every inch of your being. Every inch of it. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a daily decision. You got to begin each day consciously and intentionally and even verbally. You got to say it. Well, I meant to. You know what I mean. No, you go on and say it. I'm not talking word of faith movements like Benny Hinn and this other foolishness. I'm talking about you laying down your pride, opening your mouth, and actually saying it. I yield myself to you today, Holy Spirit. Because once you've said it, it's out there now. It's out there. You know it. He knows it. You've actually said it. You acknowledge, you ask him to fill you and to control you throughout your day. You acknowledge his presence and lordship in your life. You acknowledge you need him. Get up in the morning and say, I choose to follow your prompting. Please take complete control of my life. I will serve you today. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Being filled with the Spirit is not that, not just that, it's a moment by moment experience. Because we can quench the Spirit, we can grieve the Spirit. It's a moment by moment. Because the moment I step out of line, out of his control, I should confess it and say I'm sorry and get right back in. Being filled with the Spirit is something I also do by faith. The filling of the Holy Spirit, like I said, it's not a feeling. I ask for it. I'm asking him to do it. I'm asking him to take control. I'm asking him, and I'm to the best of my ability, I am yielding to him. And then I accept by faith that he's going to answer that prayer, regardless of how I feel. You know, a day lived in with the filling of the Holy Spirit is dramatically different than one lived without him. It really is. If you're not sure, why don't you ask your family what happened the last time you had a bad day? Last time you weren't exactly Christian-like. Being filled with the Holy Spirit helps me grow in developing the mind of Christ. It affects the way I think. Take your Bible. You're in Romans. Go toward the back of the book to Philippians chapter 2. A familiar portion of Scripture, but I want you to see it for yourself. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. With every passing day that you consciously yield yourself to the filling of the Holy Spirit, you are growing and maturing in Christ. You are being transformed into his image day by day by day. And you may not even recognize it, but year by year, it will become apparent. You know, when I was a kid, I was raised in a gas station. That's where my parents ran a gas station body shop. It was a great place to raise kids. Why? Because when it rained, I had like a gymnasium that was where Dad fixed cars. It was this huge garage. I could shoot hoops inside. But anyway, there was this specific door frame next to the telephone. Telephone children are the one thing that hangs on the wall and you put your finger in it and you had to turn it down. And anyway, we would stand there, we'd lean up against it, and Dad would mark our head. And every year, he would mark our growth and write our name and the date it was on. You know, day by day, those marks wouldn't change much. But year by year, there was a dramatic change. And that's how it is with the Holy Spirit of God. You have to have patience with yourself and yield yourself every day, moment by moment by moment by moment. His work that he's going to do in you is intended to take a lifetime. It is something you'll work at your entire life, and you will receive it. The Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. And the Holy Spirit, listen, being filled with the Holy Spirit is also about repentance and restoration and forgiveness. Because when you sin, and I don't know if you know this or not, but all sin is a sin against God. All sin. The little bitty ones, the middle ones, and the ones you wouldn't even dream of doing. They're all just as nasty and stinky in the nostrils of God as the really terrible ones. But because every sin is a sin against God. All right? And when we sin, we break fellowship with God. And God will then take the initiative to reach out to us to get us back into fellowship. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at this now. It's toward the back of the book from where you are now. God will take the initiative. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Now he's going to quote Proverbs 3. All right. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Whenever you and I step out of line, whenever you and I take back control from the Spirit of God and live it in our flesh, God will take the initiative to make contact with us. He'll start with a verbal, like a rebuke. Maybe it's a song you heard or a Bible verse that comes to mind. Or maybe it's your kid going, but Daddy, I thought we... Or maybe it's your enemy or maybe somebody you don't really like reminds you of something. You're like, and you know that's the God speaking to you, all right? That's a rebuke. He takes the initiative. When you and I step out, that's when he jumps back in. Now look at this. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? All of God's children gets chastened. All of God's children get convicted when they mess up. And because it says in verse 8, if you're without chastisement, you're illegitimate. You're bastards and not sons. Look at verse 9. We followed our fathers of the flesh, our earthly parents. Whenever we got a whooping or a spanking, we would obey them. Look at the last part of verse 9. It says, "How much shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Verse 10, for our earthly parents, for they for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, speaking of God the Father, he chastens us for our profit, for our good, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God don't like to use dirty vessels. God don't like to use, you don't like to eat off dirty dishes, do you? Go to a nice restaurant, turn over the spoon, didn't make it all the way into the washer, you know, and it's got some grunge in it or the plate. You don't like that, do you? God don't like to, you don't like to live in dirty clothes, do you? The smell, got stuff all over them, right? You don't, why does God want to live in a dirty house? Why does God want to live in a dirty suit of clothes? Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. No, we don't like it when God corrects us. But nevertheless, afterward, after God corrects us, look at this, after you and I repent, confess, and forsake, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God invites us back into fellowship. God wants us to walk in that daily communion, that daily intimate fellowship. Then he can do something through us that has us live beyond our capacity. He's trying to restore our heart. That's why it says in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Living a spirit-filled life requires a very quick response from us when we sin. When God brings our sin to mind, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have thought that. You should have turned left. Nope, you should have. At that moment, that is you being invited back into fellowship with God. That is the moment you acknowledge to God what you've done. And that's what it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. See, not confessing our sins is us being hard-headed. You got a hard-headed child at your house. You got one of those really, I mean, a heart. Jim Dobson called him the strong-willed child. You know, well, I don't want to stifle their creativity. What are you going to do when the kid gets a chip on his shoulder and walks out in traffic just to prove you wrong? I mean, you know, I'm sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside. You know, you don't talk. Anybody's got more than one kid has a strong-willed child at the house. Everyone deserves at least one. All right? And some of you are blessed with two. But you would never dream to look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm the strong-willed child. I'm the obstinate one. Of all God's children, I'm the one who stands up on the inside and bows up. But that's what happens when God convicts us or talks to us about our sin. And listen, God will talk to us first. And a lot of times it sounds like your own voice. But the truth is, it's the Holy Spirit of God. Why? How do I know that? Because the devil doesn't want you to confess your sin. So by process of elimination, who would be leading you to do that? See what I'm saying? So when God says, when you start to hear the voice saying, hey, you're dead and you should, and you're like, what? You just chose the flesh over the Spirit. You wonder, how do some folks live? How do some folks have this joy, this peace? It's because of what God's doing through them. And it's a moment by moment, daily surrendering of my will to the Holy Spirit of God. Accept his forgiveness when you confess it. Be restored. Re-enter the spirit-filled life by saying, God, take control of me. I'm listening. I'm yielding myself to you. Continue to grow in grace. You know, the spirit-filled life runs from sin and embraces holiness. The spirit-filled life is not getting more of the Spirit. You understand that? When you are filled with the Spirit, you're not getting more of him. It's the fact that he is getting more of you. It's a daily discipline that chooses to include the Holy Spirit of God rather than exclude him. The Spirit-filled life is the constant pursuit of the Christian. It is what we do all day. It's what we're supposed to be doing as we walk with him. Listen to this prayer. I found this in a commentary. It's by Betty Scott Stamm, and it says, Lord, I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept thy will for my life. I will give myself, my life, my all, utterly to thee, to be thine forever. Fill me, seal me with thy Holy Spirit. Use me as thou wilt. Send me where thou wilt. Work out thy whole will in my life at any cost, now and forever. Amen. I mean, are you ready to pray that one? I mean, there's some of them we'll pray and it's easy. But are you ready to pray on that one and follow through? So we're to be filled with the Spirit, right? We're to die to self, that's confess that known sin, and be filled with the Spirit. Yield. It's confess and yield. That's to die to self and be filled. Number one, that's to be filled with the Spirit. Number two, we're to walk in the Spirit. That daily decision to be filled with the Spirit will produce a daily walk in the Spirit. It's a lifestyle where we are being led by the Spirit. Galatians, go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is a familiar portion of Scripture that I have used multiple times. This is what I call the chain breaker verse. If you've got an addiction, this is the one. If you've got a persistent habit, maybe you wouldn't consider yourself an addict, but you sure dead sure have habits that aren't the best that you fight against. You and your spouse end up having the same conversation every 3-4 months. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You can't do both at the same time. You're either doing one or you're doing the other. Now look at verse 25, same chapter. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Listen to what it says in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's nothing the devil can accuse you of. Walking in the Spirit is a natural result of being filled with the Spirit. Now that word walk means to march in step. How many of you were in high school band? Remember we used to have to march, and you all had to march in step, and we had to keep the time that way, and you could tell when somebody was out. Maybe you folks in basic training, you know, you're walking and left, and some knucklehead's going to get you all in trouble because he's got it at the right foot, and we're supposed to have the left foot, and he stands out like a sore thumb. That's why the drill instructor can see him so quickly. The same thing with you and I as Christians. When we're not walking with God, yielded to the Spirit, we stand out. We stand out. It's easy for the devil to see us and attack us. Walking in the Spirit is that natural result. It's the Bible term refers to it as a lifestyle. It's a habits born out of consistent choices. And when we start our day by asking the Holy Spirit of God to fill us and we yield to him, guess what? He does it. He does it. That's what he wants most of all. And it's our choice to be controlled by him or not. But it's a great way to start. And you get out of bed and you start your day that way. But the truth is, you face myriads of circumstances, emotions, thoughts, feelings, desires, decisions, and possibilities throughout your day. And you're walking in the Spirit means you're developing a discipline of listening for the Holy Spirit and obeying him in the tiny little decisions of your day. Have you ever heard that voice said you ought to pick that up when you're going? You ever heard that little voice said, hey, grab that. You're going to need it. And you're like, ah, I already got stuff in my hands. Sure enough, you get in the next room, you needed it. And you think, well, that was just coincidence. Now, if you're walking in the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God will talk to you about every little aspect of your life. He is interested in every little aspect of your life. And each situation, we choose between the will of the flesh or the will of the Spirit. It's true. Walking in the Spirit is listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God and obeying it. We have this throughout scriptures. In 1 Chronicles 28:12, the Bible says that David was given the plans by God, the Holy Spirit, for the plans for the tabernacle. You know, in Matthew 4, verse 1, Jesus was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness to a specific place. In Luke 2, and verse 27, Simeon was led of the Spirit into the temple at the exact moment baby Jesus would be there. He was led of the Spirit. In Acts 11, Agabus was prompted by the Spirit to warn all the Christians that persecution was coming. In Romans 8 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Holy Spirit of God led the men of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? They were prompted. They felt the prompting. They heard it in their head. But listen, did you know you don't think in feelings and you don't think in color, you can words. And the Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. That's a prompt. Don't you prompt your kids? Hey, boy, do that. Oh, better grab that. Oh, hey, where are you going? That's you prompting your kid. What do you think God does to you? Sounds like your voice, but it's really God trying to get your attention and prompt you. He wants you led of the Spirit. Walking the flesh is giving control to the prompts of the carnal impulses and desires of our flesh. Whenever we're like, ooh, I want that, instead of, and the Holy Spirit's going, don't, no, you don't. Or you say something and the Holy Spirit goes, you shouldn't have done that. And you justify it to the Spirit. You have that little argument in your head. Well, you don't know what they did. That was an argument between your flesh and the Holy Spirit of God, and you just lost. You're always wrong when you don't obey the Spirit. Most people ignore it. They neglect to walk in the Spirit and by default walk in the flesh. Now, I believe they love God. I believe Christians love God. I believe they trust God's word. I believe they believe on His power. But they just don't cultivate that discipline of daily, moment by moment, yielding. And then confessing and repenting when they're convicted. You know, God delights in the fact that you think of Him. He really does. He really delights in the fact that you're on His mind, or that He's on your mind. He longs to be included in your day, called upon throughout the day. But so many people just forget. They forget. In Jeremiah 2 and verse 32, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." How many days have gone by? How many days have passed since you remembered to walk in the Spirit? How many days does it go in a row until it's just untenable and your flesh has gotten you in so much of a mess? It's time to come back to God. It didn't have to be that way. It's in every choice you make. You either choose to hear and obey the Spirit, or you choose the carnal life. The choice is ours. You may downplay the small decisions as insignificant, but small decisions are exactly what life is made of. We think it's the big ones. No, it's the daily little things. A messed up life is just a series of small, bad choices. That's why the Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Because the little foxes are the ones that get into the vineyards and they play in the vines and they chew on them. Big foxes don't do that. They're looking for something to eat. But baby foxes get in there and they play and they tear up your vine. And you won't get a harvest. It's the little ones. It's the little decisions. Look, a blessed life is a whole bunch of little good decisions strung together. Proverbs 10:9 says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely." Look, there's going to be resistance from your flesh. There's resistance from my flesh. But the Holy Spirit of God's there to help me and guide me. The Holy Spirit, to be Spirit-filled, to be Spirit-led, is the best possible life we can ever have. Didn't read that in His book, did you? The best life now. Okay, now I got your attention. New York Times bestseller, Your Best Life Now. There was nothing in there about die to self. Be filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody said, a Christian who's not living in the power of the Spirit is living below his privilege. We used to get the Reader's Digest at my house as a kid. You ever read those really cool, you know, miss? There's one of them there. There was always one article about how somebody had a near miss with death. Do you ever read those? Those are fun. But anyway, in March 2005, they had an article called Hypersonic Sound. A sound engineer created this tool that could focus sound like a laser beam, and at 150 yards away, only you could hear it. Only you had to be standing in the right spot, but the sound was focused to where you in a specific place could hear it. And God's voice is like that. When you and I are walking with the Spirit, we are hearing God's voice. But the minute we step out, everything goes silent. You read and nothing happens. You pray and nothing's happened. But it's easy if we just move right back on the path. Sorry, God. I was in a dead zone there for just a second. If you begin your day by yielding to the Holy Spirit, if you'll ask Him to fill you, and then obey His prompt. Obey His prompt. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit every single day. In 1 Corinthians 2:15, it says, He that is spiritual. That needs to be us, by the way. We need to be the ones that are considered, that are spiritual. So out of these three disciplines, you've got being filled, dying to self and being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Then, lastly, to live beyond your capacity. Remember what I said, to die to self and be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. And then number three is to pray in the Spirit. Do you like to take walks? Carl, you and Jenny like to take walks? Does a conversation ensue? It does. I like taking walks with people because we end up talking. We're doing something because that's the guy in me. And then we talk. And that's what we love to do. And so we'll have this conversation. It's a natural outflow of walking in the Spirit is to be conversing with the Holy Spirit. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 means when it says pray without ceasing. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to have a conversation with Him. One of the greatest spiritual exercises you can do is with the help of the Holy Spirit is to pray. It's more than just a conversation. It's a building, growing, battling endeavor throughout your day. It's a vital part of winning the spiritual warfare you deal with in your life. You want to win the spiritual battle? Then you have to be die to self and be filled with the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit, and then you need to pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying. How do I do that? How do I build myself up in the holy faith? By praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude was writing to Christians who were under fire. Jude was challenging Christians to earnestly contend for the faith and to fight the daily spiritual battle of faithfulness. You want to live beyond your capacity? You want to live like nobody ever that you've ever seen? Then you've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to walk in the Spirit. And you've got to pray in the Spirit. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're living below the level of our privilege as Christians. Look what it says in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. Always. That means throughout your day. With all prayer, that's asking, and supplication, that's earnest requests, in the Spirit. I am talking to the Spirit throughout the day. And watching thereunto with all perseverance. Watching, that means I am open and ready to receive a prompt and obey it. Watching thereunto with all perseverance, I'm going to stay faithful at it. And supplication for all saints. Today I ask the Lord, who needs my protection? Who needs my prayer, God? Who needs to be lifted up? And the Holy Spirit brought some people to mind. And I brought them up to the Lord and talked to God about it. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. This is an ongoing conversation that you start with the Holy Spirit of God the moment you get up. And He plays a significant role in the battle of winning the moment-by-moment struggle between your flesh and the Holy Spirit Himself. E.M. Bounds, literally, I tongue-in-cheek joke about this, but E.M. Bounds wrote a book on prayer. He wrote the book on prayer. And it says, what churches need today is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or new novel methods, but men that can pray. The Holy Spirit does not flow through machinery, methods, or organizations, but through men of prayer. See, the Holy Spirit of God wants to be your partner. He is your partner in prayer, whether you know it or not. But because of what Christ did on the cross, he took up residence inside you the moment you were saved. And now he wants to partner with you in prayer. He invites you to a moment-by-moment prayer time, a personal intercession with him. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 16, look what it says here. Let us therefore, look at it now. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. By the Holy Spirit of God, God invites me to have an ongoing conversation with him all day, throughout the day, right now. And in a minute, and in a minute after that, and a minute after that. Well, Pastor, I'd love to do that, Pastor, but you know, I forget to. You know, you're going to fail just like I fail. But the Christian life is a journey of growth and learning. It's a life of prayer, and it's a learned discipline. So we have to develop the habit now. We have to start now. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit to remind us. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. So the Spirit-filled life, to live beyond our capacity, to live at the level of privilege God has for his children, we need to die to self and be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? I confess my own sin and I yield to the prompting of the Spirit. At that moment, I'm filled. Number two, I walk in the Spirit. Because I'm doing it moment by moment by moment, I'm developing a habitual lifestyle of being led and in surrender and yielded to the Spirit. And then three, we pray in the Spirit. We enter into that battle between our flesh and the Spirit. Through prayer. It's an act of faithfully coming before the Heavenly Father to commune with him personally and to seek his power. This is the Christian life. To be yielded to the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. Give God that control every day. Now, the best way I can explain this, the best way I can do this is this way. I brought some work gloves with me. Now, these are the ones I normally use. These are my work gloves. I know they're dirty and they got dust in them, but they're soft and they're pliable and they're easy. And you know, this thing doesn't do anything when it's just laying there. It can't do anything. It's just a shell. It's just a piece of carnal material. It cannot go to heaven. It's going to have to be, you know, like our bodies. It's not suited for that, but it can't do anything in and of itself. But when you put the Spirit of God, when you put the hand in it, you can do stuff, but if you don't get the hand all the way in, see, you're not going to get more of the Spirit than you already got, but if he doesn't get all of you, every finger of you, you know what I'm saying? We think that the Holy Spirit's somehow deficient. No, the problem is he just doesn't have control of the entire glove. But you know, I got some of these other gloves here that are like me sometimes. They're kind of old and crusty. And they're not really pliable. And they resist. Listen to this. They resist the moving of the hand inside because it's not comfortable. It doesn't want to bend like that. And the Spirit's, you know, I got to work extra hard to make these things usable because there's hard spots and there's spots where they've just been left to sit and not under the control of the Spirit of God. That's what my life gets like. That's what your life gets like. We become unpliable because our flesh is the one in control. Our flesh wants what it wants. So it fights against the leading of the Spirit. It doesn't want to hear from the Spirit. And the truth is, it's not me that does anything. It's the power of the hand of the one inside me. But I have to yield to him. That's what it means to resist the Spirit, is to go, no, I'm not going to. No, I don't think so. No, thank you, ma'am. No, I won't. But you know what the Bible says. I don't care. You're either controlled by the spirit or you're controlled by the flesh. And the moment you say to yourself, I know what the Bible says, but you're in the flesh. Because the right thing and the hard thing are always the same thing. So what do we do, preacher? How do I live beyond my capacity? How do I live the abundant Christian life? How do I live at the level God wants me to live? Number one, I die to self and I yield to the Spirit. Start my morning with it and I do it moment by moment. And by doing it moment by moment through my day, confessing my sin as it happens in real time, I develop a walk with God, a walk in the Spirit. And as I'm walking moment by moment throughout my day, trying to yield myself to the promptings, even in the tiny little, what seemingly insignificant things of my life, I'm praying in the Spirit. It may not be audible to the people around me, but the Holy Spirit and I have a conversation. But the moment you yield to Him, you're filled, whether you feel it or not. So start your day verbally. Start your day intentionally and keep it up through the day. Watch what God does. This week, I prayed and I said, God, who do you want me to encourage today? And God brought somebody to mind, just like He did today. And I text him because I asked the Lord how He wanted me to encourage him. He said, text him. So I text him. Later that day, about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, he wrote back and said, God must be working because it's no coincidence you text me when you did. And he didn't tell me what it was about. He just knew to know I was praying, and I wanted to encourage him. God's got something for you that's beyond anything you've experienced, and He isn't going to be able to do it unless we let Him. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you say you're yielded today? How long has it been? How many days have gone by since you've yielded to Him? Our Heavenly Father, we love You. Forgive us of our sin, our obstinance and stubbornness, our stiff neck, and our impenitent heart. Hard heart, God, please forgive us of our sin. Cleanse us. Thank You, Father, for forgiving us. Now, Father, the best way we know how, we submit ourselves to You. We give ourselves to You anew and afresh. We yield our control to You. Prompt us and we will obey. Speak to us now, Father. Show us the things that need to be confessed and repented of. Show us the areas where we're unyielded and where You're not able to move. Please do something great in Christ's name. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, the altar is open. You can pray where you are. You can come forward. But it's not going to happen unless you intentionally do it. Your life will not change until you intentionally yield to the Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. And like an old work glove, Father, we're just useless without Your empowerment from within. Father, let us be that vessel that You can use. Let us be that ambassador, that scripture people are reading. And let us be a true portrayal of Your holiness and Your love. And Father, and Your sovereignty. Father, we recognize that not everything we go through in this life is our fault. And not everything we go through in this life is because we chose or made bad choices. But Father, we know that You know we're here in this spot where we are right now. You know we're here and You have us, while we're here, You have a purpose for us being here. And Father, let us realize that as we submit to you, die to self. And Father, may you be praised, because others will see you and not us. And we'll certainly praise you because of who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Frank, would you come, please?